We had been meaning to do a Columbo episode for well over a year. We had so many different ideas planned for how we wanted to approach that, and we never got around to it for any number of reasons. So this is going to be the first time I think we're actually properly talking about Columbo, which is long overdue.
Yeah, very exciting time in the low-res universe.
Yeah, I guess so. Erich has just joined the chat here, so we'll be able to start proper in just a moment.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to Is It Kino Slash Movies, a podcast about the act of Columbo. I am Simeon Jimmy, joined today for a very special episode that I've been anticipating and hoping to do for well over a year. All about Columbo, baby. Joined today by my co-host in life and podcasting, E. Rich McCoy.
Just one more thing there. One more thing. My wife, she loves that show, Is It Kino? She always wanted to know when you're recording the episodes, what do you really like? What do you really think about the movies? Is it really what you're talking about or what?
Well, we'll get into that, but we're also joined by the movies duo of Low Res and Hans.
Yes, it is such an exciting time to be talking about Columbo. It seems like everyone has started watching Columbo in the past year and a half, I want to say, after. Nobody was watching Columbo. And
I
I'm.
am guilty of that myself, and I might know the reason why.
What? Wait, well, what is the reason why, and how did you discover Columbo?
So Rian Johnson made this show called Poker Face that I really enjoyed, and then I found out it was kind of a ripoff or inspired by Columbo. And I've been hearing about Columbo my whole life, just in different media. He's always referenced. He's a figure everybody knows maybe, but has never really watched. And I got
Oh.
addicted real quick. And
These
there's Hans.
shows
So is that
are infinitely watchable. I discovered Columbo. I had to be a pallbearer for my ex-girlfriend's grandfather, and
Oh
I
my
went to
gosh.
Pennsylvania. And the night before, Columbo happened to be on the television, and I was caught off guard by the fact that it took Columbo 40 minutes to show up in his own show.
Right.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, and I was investigating who killed him.
I
Yeah,
wish.
Columbo is like for this generation, it might be poison because it's the anti-TikTok. Like it's every episode is feature length, it's a little bit slow paced at times, and you just really have to sit down and pay attention. And I feel like most people my age or younger might not be down for Columbo.
Yeah, it's a little surprising that more people have become aware of the show and at least seem like fans of the show because it is so slow burn and it requires that attention to detail to be able to enjoy it at full capacity, especially the older ones. It gets a
Yeah.
little goofy when you get into the 1980s and the 90s and they swap networks, and it's still very good. All those episodes are very watchable, but the 1970s run of Columbo, I think, is especially something magical.
It's also the opposite of what you get now with the flawed protagonist, right? Our hero here, he looks like he stinks. His hair is always a mess. His clothes
Wow.
are always a mess. In this episode, our introduction to him, he's trying to get his cigar from the floor in the cat or his car, I think it was. And it's just a filthy
Not
cigar that
even
he's
his
picking up right
car.
in
It's
front of
like
his
the
mouth.
police commissioner's car. He
All
drops a
right. Right.
cigar under
Yeah.
his
So
seat.
and he's not handsome. He's not the handsome detective that you would get in a modern day series. Like, you would never
I need
cast
to
a.
execute Hans. Like everything he's saying is pissing me off
No,
right now.
but
I
Hans is right.
aspire to be Columbo. Are you kidding me?
Hans is
That's my
totally right.
goal.
He's totally right because that is Columbo's like entire thing, is that he's somebody that the killers can kind of like brush off and be like, this guy doesn't really know anything. This guy with the rumpled coat is coming up to me, asking me all these questions. I can just kind of like lie to him or like tell him something, then he's not going to follow up. But no, he comes back. He's like, can I use your phone for a second here?
Well, yeah, Columbo's goal is always to lower the guard of who he's investigating and to make himself seem a bit more dopey than he really is. But I to say he's like ugly or unkempt, oh, Hans, how
No,
dare you?
what I'm saying is I'm just comparing it to like modern day productions, right? Where you're not gonna have a
A
middle-aged
5 foot 5 man.
well,
No, everybody
not
looks
just
like a
that.
star. Everybody looks like a like clean cut, fresh, like
Well,
just out
first
of
of all,
their trailer actor.
nobody
Everyone
has a
looks
glass
fucking
eye these days.
Yeah.
They look 14, first of all, even if they're 40. Everyone's kind of like round cheeked. And but Columbo, compared to everything you see now, even if you have a middle-aged main character, it's going to be a, you know, a Clooney level handsome, so that he gets the women in. Here, what, like, it's just charisma, and it's just, you know, his ability and his autism that allows him to solve these complicated cases with, like, the where you don't see it coming at all. And I think that's the thing that appeals to me the most, where it's just like a lot of the shows from the 2000s, where it would be is this character in all of these different wacky situations, like a house, and you have a grumpy doctor, and we're gonna put him in this wacky situation to see how he acts. You don't really get that anymore, where it's personality, main character personality based show like this. And yeah, that's one of the things that appeals to me the most. He's just such a, he's likable, but I don't know if you're supposed to like him. It's just kind of like, that's
how
who he is.
And
if you're the, if you're the specific type of, I can see how he could be annoying. I can see how he could
be. Yeah, if you murdered your wife, he would be pretty annoying.
He's only annoying to murderers. He gets on pretty well with everybody else.
I agree with what you're saying, Hans. I think today, if you were going to have a Columbo type character, it would still be through the modern filter, and you would have, who's the unconventional good looking actor of the day? It's Adam Driver. Yeah, he's got long hair and moles and a big nose, but he's also got six pack abs, and he's a former Marine, right? So,
yeah, and he's built, you know, he's like a brick house. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have a tiny little Polish Jewish man who is 50 years old and finally making it in the industry.
Well, are you guys familiar?
Seth Green is not going to star in a Columbo remake.
No, that would be fucking horrible. That's why. No one wants to see Seth Green even do a voice, let alone appear on film.
Well, would you guys argue that Monk from TV's Monk is any more handsome than Columbo? Because that's kind of like the modern day equivalent, right?
Oh, he's
kind
definitely of, uglier than Columbo, I would say.
Yeah, so yeah, there you go.
When did Monk come?
When did Monk end? When did Monk come?
Actually, Monk ended last year, actually. They did like a straight to streaming movie to end his story.
Well, but but that's not ending last
year. It was
year,
like a, the 2000s.
Like, it was like 2008 or 9.
It came out last year. I don't know what to tell you.
They brought it back because I guess they run out of old shows to revive. Because who the fuck is clamoring for a Monk revival, right?
You'll get a Columbo revival soon. Don't worry. It's going to come to Peacock in the next 2 or 3 years. And you're going to get probably, they'll do the Quantum Leap thing. And they'll cast a handsome Asian man. It'll be Charles Melton as Columbo.
I did see Quantum Leap was canceled after 2 seasons. So how, that's the fate of the new Columbo.
How disappointing. I just discovered the original Quantum Leap recently on archive.org, and it's fun. It's fun enough, you know. It's not, it's no Columbo, that's for sure.
I want to see Columbo get into some sci-fi shenanigans. I think he can handle it.
I think there was a great opportunity, and I don't know if you guys are familiar with this, Hans, you're probably a little familiar with Kolchak, the Night Stalker.
Yeah.
I think there could have been a great crossover there between Columbo and Kolchak. They were on the same network, equally schlubby guys as detectives. It could have really worked and been something fun.
I don't know. I think I would have liked a body cop film with Ernest and Columbo.
That's really slumming it. Ernest, who's the cop? No, that would be, that would
maybe Ernest. Ernest committed the murder, and then Columbo has.
Have you guys seen the Peter Falk film? I think Mikey and Nikki, or Nikki and Mikey.
Yeah.
If you watch that, imagining that he's Columbo, there's so many funny scenes of him like threatening people and yelling, "Oh, you motherfucker!" Like punching women in the face. I imagine every Peter Falk role as Columbo, and it makes everything better.
Well, what's great about him is he furnished his own wardrobe for everything he acted in. So all these trench coats you were criticizing, Hans, are actually his trench coats.
Oh, well.
Well, he's so small, they didn't have any like man-sized, you know, clothes available. He had to bring his own.
When you criticize Columbo, you're actually criticizing Peter Falk. So just, just
should
remember
we,
that.
For the 90% of my listeners who have never seen Columbo, should we kind of describe what an episode might be like? And we did watch one, but we'll get into that specifically later.
Yeah.
But basically, Columbo isn't really even the main character of any given episode, like the murderer kind of is, because like Lores is saying, it takes Columbo about half an hour into these 90-minute episodes to actually show up. And unlike what you might expect from a detective mystery show, we know who did it. The opening scenes of the show, we watch the murder happen. Like, the mystery is not the mystery. The mystery is how Columbo solves the mystery. Mm-hmm. And like, we know everything. The dramatic irony is on Columbo here.
Yes. And that does eventually change a bit more as you get into the later seasons, and they shift the series into more of a movie of the week or movie of the month type of series. But for these 1970s episodes, it is really about who's the main guest star of the episode. Is it Dick Van Dyke? Is it John Cassavetes? Is it Martin Sheen? And then Columbo is the foil that is introduced. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's a strange narrative choice if you've only consumed modern things too, because you get more time with the villains and you get more time with the crime and what happened. And then I guess it's such an interesting character and so personality based where you can just drop him in at any time. And then, you know, he'll take over the show, because I'm remembering that Cassavetes episode, which is one of the other ones that I've seen. I haven't seen many episodes. For like the first 40 minutes, it's all about him and it's all about what he did. And it's all about, just like in this one where we have the commissioner and then the other guy with bad hair, with the bad toupee. Half an hour in is when you start getting the title character of the story. And I don't think that's something that you conventionally see on a TV show, especially now where you have to grab the audience's attention immediately. For the rotating cast to be the main cast, it's not something that you get, you know, all the time.
Yeah, it leans incredibly hardly on like one or two guest actors who have never been on the show before. This is the only episode they're going to be on. And most of the time they do a pretty good job of like letting you know who the character is, what they're embroiled in. I just watched the Johnny Cash episode the other day. Where he murders the women that he's performing with and then parachutes out of the plane. Like, it's just so wild seeing Johnny Cash do all these things.
Now, Erich, I gotta correct you on something. Sometimes these actors do come back, but they come back in different roles.
Yeah.
Yes.
So Leslie Nielsen's the only one I can think of. Somebody
William
else
Shatner
back
too.
William
right?
Shatner came back, I think, 20 years after the fact. And I had to put a beard on, like a very clearly
thick
beard on.
He looks incredibly different then.
20
years later.
I think the top recurring killer is Patrick McGoohan, who appears maybe about four times in the series.
Wow.
God.
I did not notice. I must be face blind or something.
Now, do they always return as a different killer, or do they sometimes become the victim occasionally?
I think they always come back as the killer, because you, you want to have the title credit there. You want to be the guest star.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So this is the first time he appeared.
That's young Shatner.
Yes.
Yep.
And then
the mustache does a lot.
It does. Yeah.
So he could potentially be in the Columbo reboot. We'll get him a third time.
I guess. Yes. Yes. He could be.
Oh, wow. Is he still alive? Or
he's like 92.
He's tweeting right now.
Yeah.
He did go to space, didn't he?
He did. Yes.
Wow.
He could murder someone in space.
I would love to see Columbo up in a space hotel, bumping around in zero G.
There was no oxygen in the room when you...
Monkey, what made you pick this episode in particular?
So this episode, A Friend Indeed, just happens to be my favorite one. It's the one I was most enthralled by as I watched it. And I think it has the best final scene of any Columbo. Like, I'm on the edge of my seat, and I love the gambit that Columbo pulls. And I'm sure we'll get into it, but do you disagree? Because when I told you I wanted to do this episode, I was shocked to discover that you have a movie poster of this episode framed in your home.
Yeah, I do. It didn't come to mind as one of my favorites. I actually just bought the movie poster on a whim because I discovered that they would release episodes of Columbo in Europe as theatrical feature films. And I was like, wouldn't it be cool to own one of these foreign posters? And it just so happened to be A Friend Indeed. And I had a memory of the episode, but sitting down today, it had been a while since I watched it. And I really came away appreciating many of...
Oh, you cut out, Lores. We can't hear you.
Oh, your sound.
Am I back? Am I okay now?
Yeah,
you're back.
Okay. I wound up appreciating many of the differences that are found in this episode that make it stand out from all the rest. I feel like there's a lot of peripheral elements in play with A Friend Indeed that you don't find in many of these. And I think that might have something to do with the fact that Peter Falk recruited one of his good friends, actor Ben Gazzara.
Who
directs this episode. And he had worked with him on a very great film, one of my favorite films, John Cassavetes' Husbands. And Cassavetes plays the killer in Etude to Black, which is, I think, earlier in the season for this season. Season two is really the return where things pop off and it becomes like a standout show for NBC, I believe it was on at the time.
And Lopez is not joking. If you go to his letterbox, you can list your four favorite movies, and he only put one. It's just Husbands.
Yes, yes, that's right.
As I say, I just watched the Cassavetes movie Killing of a Chinese Bookie the other week. Yeah. And like Ben Gazzara's in that. And yeah, he's just such a great presence. And I'm sure that he brings some of that like very like dirty feeling sense to this episode. A lot of these episodes have like criminal elements or they've got something going on that's suspect. But this one felt a little bit darker to me. And I think it's because the killer is killing multiple times and he's kind of like embroiled in a bunch of like schemes kind of. So it feels like it's a bit more involved and it's not just one murder that's being covered up for kind of.
He also has like he has an evil magician facial hair too.
Yes.
But I think the most important thing is that this police commissioner who is the murderer is also Columbo's boss. Like he's up against not just like the whole system, but like his own employer who can take him off the case and fire him at any time. And even at the end, like he says, oh, I'm going to get your badge for this. You're done. And if Columbo's like gambit didn't work, he would just be fucked. He'd be out of a job.
Yeah.
So it's the highest stakes of any Columbo I can think of.
I would love to know when Columbo goes to set up the thing he does at the end, how many other police officers are in on it, or like is he basically like going off and doing this on his own and then like he has to then involve other police officers to kind of witness, but like yeah, it's an interesting setup for the entire thing there at the end when he's going after his own superior.
It might be the one instance where you do see somebody in the police department who is culpable for these murders. It makes it stand out in that way as well. You also have two different people in play here as the antagonists of the series and a fall guy. There's never a fall guy in any of these episodes, as far as I can remember anyway, where someone is being pinned for the murders.
Yeah, it's extra tricky for Columbo to solve because the two guys are using each other as alibis to get away with their own individual crimes. So it's just a big knot that Columbo has to expertly unweave while the murderer is literally looking over his shoulder at work the whole time.
Before we get back to the show, I want to encourage you to visit patreon.com/lowres and sign up for our $5 tier right now. We have video installments of every episode of Movies and B-Bang you listen to on Spotify and Apple Podcasts weeks before they go out. And bonus shows you won't find anywhere else. We also have our ultra-exclusive $100 tier, which allows you to select one movie we'll watch for our program Movies, a podcast by The Act of Cinema. We typically have an eclectic mix of films that we usually cover, but you can make it as obscure or as mainstream as it gets. And yes, I will take pleasure in the fact that Hans will have to endure a whole viewing of your movie without napping. So head on over to patreon.com/lowres and sign up today.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm still finishing up the episode. I'm like five minutes to go. So
my God.
In silence.
Well,
we gave it away.
Oh, Columbo.
I'm getting there.
Rents out a different apartment, sets it up as I'm if... Like,
yeah, I'm like, I hope Monkey spoils it because it's happening right now. So I'm like,
to answer your question, did any of the cops help Columbo set up this like fake apartment? I think the answer has to be no, because he says the only two people who knew this address were you and me.
Right. Oh, my God. So like he's doing
He set up the bed and all the clothes and the beer bottles. Columbo just did that all by himself that morning.
Oh, my God. And then like, so does he like tell the police commissioner and then a bunch of other cops, I need you to meet me at this possible scene come with me. And then, like, when the eventual, like, truth comes out, he can have those other cops, like, see what's happened. Like, it's just such a, like, a, there's a lot to unpack for anybody who's outside of, like, Columbo's point of view there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if he's not secretly filming this, it's almost his word against the other guys.
Yeah, exactly.
I like the idea of him secretly filming it, knowing it's 1974, and he would have had to rig up a very loud film camera.
A huge camera. Like, I'm sorry you didn't notice this. I got a camera hidden over there. Yeah.
I think one of the...
don't mind them. They live here too.
One of the things that elevates some of the second, third, fourth seasons of Columbo in the 1970s is the fact that Peter Falk had gone off and worked with John Cassavetes. And there's a book that came out maybe a year or two ago, and I read most of it. I wound up checking out, I think, like three quarters of the way, and not out of disinterest, but just because it was very... occupied at the time. And he came back to Columbo having done these indie films with Cassavetes, and he wanted to reapproach the series completely in terms of how they were shooting things. And I think this episode is probably indicative of his experience having done that and then bringing these sensibilities to that. And apparently he was a major pain behind the scenes and would try to get into the editing room, and people would pretend like they weren't in the rooms, like they would lock the door and change the blinds and be like,
they're hiding from
Peter's
Peter Falk.
Yes. Yeah. Because he tried to be so hands-on with the editing, and it annoyed everybody. So he became Columbo, essentially, behind the scenes.
Did he have, like, specific things he wanted done? Like, did he want things cut quicker or shorter? Or
I think he was trying to veer away from the procedural nature of the show and make it a little more cinematic, I guess. Make it a little more explorative.
I think this almost... makes me appreciate Peter Falk as Columbo more, that he is so dedicated and committed to this that he, like, wants final say on the cut. Like, he's not just taking this as a gig. He's not just the actor and shows up, does the lines and leaves. Like, he wants to be hands-on in every part of this production, it sounds like.
It kind of makes sense to me, because every episode is basically feature length. That's basically 90 minutes per episode. And so when you're making that big of a production for 5 or 6 times a year or whatever, you'd want to make sure that every episode, like, seemed like its own individual movie, basically. So if you're bringing a lot of those, like, concepts and cinematic techniques from other movie making, you'd want to make sure that that, like, found its way into the... Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the big thing with Columbo too is exactly what you said, where most of these types of shows, especially in the future, would be weekly episodes that would be an hour long, and it would be a very rigid structure. Columbo would drop typically once a month, and it would be treated like a movie of the week.
Yeah.
And I think it even had won by its third season an Emmy for Outstanding Limited Series. So they hadn't considered it like an ongoing thing, just a special occasion sort of programming. And you had more time to dedicate to what are we going to do with this? How are we going to make it stand out? And so that sort of indulging Peter Falk's need to make it something that stands out from the rest of the procedural television of that time, I think really it flares up and you can see it here.
Mm-hmm. And it's like it was NBC at the time and then it moved to ABC, correct?
I think so. It might have been, they might have moved it to CBS in the 80s or 90s or so, and that is when it became even more infrequent. If you start taking a look, there's probably like 250 episodes of Columbo. I have a box set of all of them on DVD.
Oh wow.
You start to see that, okay, some of the seasons become like 4 episodes long, some of them are 3 years apart, 8 years apart. And the 1970s run, I think in particular, is really where you see some of the best writing and certainly the best actors in the mix here. Even some of the no names in this episode, like Richard Kiley, who plays the central antagonist, he's very transatlantic and theatrical and in like a mid-20th century actor sort of way, and that's very enjoyable. But he's also great as the villain.
Yeah, he's amazing. I really dug him. I didn't realize he was the voice of the tour guide in Jurassic Park that
okay.
The character like shouts out as like, this is a get we got Richard Kiley to voice the, and he's also in the book. They like mention in the book that that's the voice of the tour guide, and then he's also in the movie.
Do you guys have any favorite episodes that come to your mind that you want to, you know, briefly shout out?
Well, on the first day of reshoots on Mass State Lottery, when we settled into the Airbnb, I made sure to try to set the vibe by putting on Etude in Black, which is the John Cassavetes episode of Columbo. It precedes this one. I think it was the premiere episode of season two. I don't know if that was the order it aired in, but I know that they had shot that first, and Peter Falk had harassed John Cassavetes into making an appearance. He's like, could you, you know, and this isn't the last time he would essentially call on Cassavetes to do him a favor. Cassavetes directed what would wind up being his final film and is nothing like any of Cassavetes' other movies, Big Trouble, which was a comedy starring Peter Falk and I think Alan Arkin from 1986 or so. It's very different from the rest of his movies. But Cassavetes begrudgingly starred in the episode, and having these two creative egos on set became a problem for everyone who's just showing up and doing their job. And it's like, oh, we're just doing the TV show today. But then you have auteur and then the aspiring auteur through Peter Falk here. And that is probably by far my favorite episode. It has some of the best cinematography, some of the best acting, most fun acting. There's a lot of scenes where they're just ad-libbing with one another and going off the cuff and ignoring the script that made it into the final cut. And there's two different versions of that episode as well, because I guess there's a 90-minute one and then there's a 70 or 60-minute one as well. And I don't know if I've seen the shorter cut or why they did that. Maybe it was just for syndication, but it's definitely my favorite.
I'm partial to the A Stitch in Crime, I believe, which is the one with Leonard Nimoy playing a doctor or a surgeon, I think, who murders someone in order to get a better position. And then, Columbo has a like special stitch right in his coat. And then at the end of the episode, he's like, "You planted it on me, didn't you?" And he pulls out this. Oh, it's so good.
And Hans has never finished an episode, so he doesn't really
Yeah, this was his first episode.
Hans, your favorite is, I believe, the one you just watched, right?
Yeah. Oh, Hans, you're muted.
Now we can't hear you.
Yeah, you're muted, Hans. Everybody's having mic troubles from the Still movies muted. Podcast.
Cunt.
Should be better. Oh!
Okay.
Oh. Comes back to say cunt.
No, I've seen the full Cassavetes one because we were going to record an episode on that one. So that's, I think, the only other one that I've seen. I've finished this one already, by the way. So this two, from those two, I really like the Cassavetes one. I think that was my introduction to it. So I'm sure that as I watch more episodes and see more guest stars that I'm sure I'll recognize from old things that I used to watch, I'd get more into it. But for now, from those two, I like the Cassavetes one more. Maybe because I've seen it twice. As opposed to this one that I've only seen once. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I definitely think that they gain a lot by watching them more than once. You kind of like see the entire machinations from the beginning, and you kind of get a better sense of what Columbo is doing once he starts picking things up.
The biggest thing you can get from watching any episode of Columbo is the lack of need to talk down to the audience or over-explain things to the audience. They clearly are catering towards, I guess, a more elevated intelligence or I think
well,
the
could
viewer
it be that in the 60s and 70s people were just better at consuming media and maybe smarter.
Well,
in general.
Yes, of course. I definitely think that's a thing, but you can still watch like Hawaii 5-0 from that era, and it's not that, you know, the writing isn't too far off from CSI Miami in 2007. So but I think there's like a lack of hand holding, and maybe that's just because you do see what all the steps taken in committing the murder and then covering up the murder and then the murder unfolding itself. You know, there's a more respect given, I think, towards the intelligence of the viewer.
Something that I enjoyed as seeing the show kind of as like a time capsule of history is that every now and then Columbo is not afraid to embrace new technologies, and like whatever the new technology of the day was, he will, like, he'll ask questions and learn about it because it just so happens to be relevant to the case of the week. And like, there are some episodes where there are wild pieces of technology that were probably useful for like 3 or 4 years in human history and then were abandoned for new things. So just like binging through the whole show in the last year and a half, you really see how far we've come, and all these things I never would have experienced. And I wish I could think of a specific one, but some things were so strange that I can't even like imagine the functionality of it today.
Well, that is one thing that I think audiences have become better at watching these kinds of crime procedurals because of how many crime procedurals they've watched. So there's a lot of like fingerprinting and DNA analysis and all of these like criminology things are just common parlance now. Whereas sometimes in the past you would have had to explain like, yeah, we're taking the fingerprinting. We're then going to run it through the lab. Like,
well, not even that, Erich, but in modern day, when you watch like CSI, and there's that famous hacking scene where two people are typing on the same keyboard to hack faster. There's Hell no attention to detail. Like they're just, it's pseudoscience, mumbo jumbo fucking bullshit. Whereas I feel like with Columbo, there was that attention. They wanted it to actually be realistic. And like, how could somebody actually use this piece of technology to commit a murder? It's not just fucking insanity.
It probably comes from the fact that back in the day, you didn't really have many options. So your audience was more everyone as opposed to who the fuck is watching CSI in 2024 that's going to care about that. You know, it's not us autists that care about little details like that. It's just old people that, you know, it's
replaying. My grandma probably thinks you can hack faster.
Exactly. Yeah, so that's probably why. You know, back in the day, you had three channels, and the 8 p.m. slot is Columbo, so everyone's watching Columbo. So
what a dream. Could you imagine a world where one-third of people watching TV are watching Columbo? Like,
you could just drop Columbo references to anyone in your life, and they would just instantly get it.
Yeah, take me back. Lay wrong generation. But Erich, what were you saying?
I'm trying to think. So, like, I've only seen the 70s episodes. There's a gap between what the 70s era and a bit into the 80s and then the 90s. Is that right?
If I remember right, they have the episodes consistently airing throughout the 1970s. Kino Lorber actually just released the cool.
Yeah,
Blu-ray.
I just got that set. Yeah.
Nice. And I think it comes back on a different network in the late 1980s. I think around 1987 or 1988, they start putting out movie of the week episodes of Columbo, and then those are popular and they decide, okay, why don't we just make this a regular thing? And it goes into the 90s, so you start seeing like they couldn't get as good of guest stars. There's no Vincent Price or Martin Sheen caliber of actor that shows up, but they do get like Rue McClanahan from the Golden Girls for an episode. Clearly you get William Shatner back. There's some pretty bad, like poorly written episodes in that later run of Columbo's, unfortunately. And there's one episode in particular I really, really despise. And I don't know if you guys have seen it, but it's the one episode where Columbo is wrong.
Man.
And I don't want to spoil it too much. Is that
the one with the limo?
A limo.
There's like they hit the body under the limo seats, because I think he was wrong for a little bit, but then ended up getting it right. But are you saying he was wrong even at the end?
Flat wrong. Yes. So there's an episode where, and I don't know the name of this actor, but he was a recurring actor on season two of Twin Peaks, and he's English or Irish, and he's just very smug. He's like, Columbo, I didn't kill that girl. And he's just dunking on Columbo left and right. And then at the very end of the episode, it turns out the girl's not even dead. She just had to get away. She left. She was on vacation.
Oh, I remember that. But then that dude ends up killing her anyway. And then Columbo, he was like right, but he was early to being right.
Maybe I bowed out of the episode early. I don't remember that happening. But
she was in on it. It was all like a big scheme, you know, drop her off at the airport. She's wearing a disguise. And then, like, once Columbo's proven wrong, the guy fucking kills her.
Columbo saw the future. He knew that she was going to be murdered.
Yeah, you doubted Columbo, Lorez, but he was right all along.
I'm going to have to go back to this episode. Maybe I did fuck it up and jump out 10 minutes before the ending and credits there. But that episode is still my least favorite.
Columbo cries wolf. Is that the episode?
It is. Yes.
They tell you right in the title.
There's also, I think the first one when it's rebooted and we get like old gray Columbo for the first time, he's like investigating a magician who uses a guillotine to kill people. And I think it's very rusty cage coated. So go check out that one. Not particularly a good one, but if you're a fan of guillotines.
Have any of you guys seen the last episode of Columbo? Columbo Loves the Nightlife.
No, I haven't. It looks like Matthew Rhys is one of the guest stars on there, which is great.
I've got two episodes left, and I really should have finished the series before this podcast, but I will be getting to it soon.
Well, I think there's,
what about it?
There's plenty of room to revisit Columbo. There's so many great nuggets in the series, but that episode strikes me as particularly unfortunate because you know, you mentioned he comes back and he's grayer, but like in that episode in particular, he seems very old and very out of it. Man. And I know
that's 2003, I think. What year did he die? Like 2010?
He died around like 2009, 2010. It was pretty shortly thereafter, but I know he was suffering Alzheimer's at the time. And his memory was getting worse and worse. And they had more episodes of Columbo planned, but he couldn't remember his lines.
That sucks.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal. And you watch that episode, and he just seems so like this needs to be put to an end. This needs to stop.
No, they couldn't give him a Bruce Willis earpiece. Feed him lines.
Johnny Depp, like.
Yeah,
I guess not. What the fuck is he? But just seeing this very old man in a nightclub that has Matrix lighting, and it feels like the opening scene of Blade. It just feels like Columbo does not belong here. Columbo needs to go.
Is that the punk rock? The episode where he goes to a punk rock show and everyone's listening to the old man. Everyone stops fighting and shit, and everyone's just, yeah, let's just listen to this old man. It's a punk show.
Yeah, stop moshing. Listen to Peter Falk.
If you guys could... or where in charge of the decision of remaking this show, who would you cast as Columbo?
Vincent Gallo.
Oh.
Can Charlie Day Columbo do it?
Well, that was his movie, right? Didn't he have a detective movie?
Not bring up that movie.
No,
it's
he didn't
bad.
Even say he's mute in that movie, though. Like, can he do the voice? Because if he can do it, and judging by It's Always Sunny, I think he could do the gruff, scruffy voice. And you know,
well,
have
he can do... He can do that voice that, you know, that voice. So if you want Columbo to
they were like that, considering like doing a reboot around 2012 or 2015. And the one name that came up all the time was Mark Ruffalo.
Mark Ruffalo, yeah, yeah.
2010 okay. Mark Ruffalo?
Yeah, like Zodiac Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah, in Zodiac, you can kind of picture
he's wearing the same kind of coat in that movie, so you can kind of see why people would be thinking that. Yeah,
he apparently has a spot on Peter Falk impression also.
I'd be down if they tried it once, but if I don't like it, cancel the whole thing.
burn the tapes.
Yes,
I think don't it's just a rest. Matter of time before they decide to pull the trigger, especially with the renewed interest in Columbo. They're releasing these box sets of like people are interested now more than they have been in the past 15 or 20 years, I'd say. I think it's going to happen, and I don't trust them to be able to execute it appropriately. Anytime they've brought back like these icons of like TV or whatever, especially if it's on Peacock or something, it's been a swing and a miss. It comes to mind in 2005 or so, they tried to bring back Kolchak, who I mentioned earlier, and they couldn't have cared less about that original incarnation of Karl Kolchak, because the actor who played him, the name is escaping me, but he plays the father in A Christmas Story, and he's a great actor, and he's very like dirty. He smells like you know, he probably works at a flea market or something, you know. He's got that sort of BO vibe about him. And they cast like a very handsome, chiseled model as Kolchak, and then said he's not even really the star. We have Gabriel Union, who's going to be his
my
new partner.
God.
What?
And she's going to be the face of the project, and we're not even going to call it Kolchak. It's just going to be called Night Stalker. And I found that on archive.org as well. And I watched some of that, and I was just like, this is an abomination. So I would expect them to do...
It's not called Trina? Is that what the show is called?
Yes. No, you could have said Cole Burner. Anyway.
Oh, wow.
Sorry. Right. Anyway. Wow. You know, I expect them to bring out some sort of very poor choice for Columbo if they do bring it back.
Well, if they do, and this is going to sound crazy to a lot of the audience, but I have full faith in Rian Johnson to be the writer.
To do, yeah.
Have you guys watched Poker Face?
Yeah, I
no.
like
it. No, I haven't. So I don't mind that actress, though.
It's the same form. I love Natasha Lyonne, but it's the same format where like the opening 10 minutes instead of the opening 30 minutes, you don't get to see Poker Face. You see the criminal do the crime, and then, you know, it's the same format. They use the same fucking font on screen. And I like when he's not doing Star Wars, when he's writing mysteries, I think he's a pretty good writer. You know, he subverts expectations in ways that I enjoy in those types of stories. So I have full faith in him.
There were some very good episodes of Poker Face. I really liked the special effects episode where there, I feel like there's some very like specific Kathleen Kennedy digs. Yeah, there oh. where. Yeah, it's like some murders happen within a like special effects house. So I really enjoyed that episode.
I'll have to take a
look. Recommend that show for sure if you like Columbo. I mean, better than Monk. I watched three episodes of Monk and said, okay, so he's Columbo, but he's severely autistic. No, thank you.
Well, Hans, I know Monk was on the same network as Suits and Burn Notice, which you love. Did you ever get into Monk?
No. No, I never really. No, I was more of a suit. But you know, I need a good looking people on my TV. I don't. Fucking know.
Yeah. Well, you know, you get from Richard Levinson and William Link, they created Columbo. They were behind that. They did Murder, She Wrote as well. I would recommend. This is kind of a deep cut, I guess, but it's also found on archive.org. You can't find this anywhere else. They decided to do in the 90s. The Cosby Mysteries, and it's Bill Cosby as just a grumpy detective.
Holy shit.
That and is our next review.
It's Columbo. It's not the same structure as Columbo, but they did 90-minute episodes, and they would drop it every so often. And I think it was a CBS show. And it's
Bill
not
Cosby
bad.
Like in a trench coat?
Yep.
Like doing, oh my God.
Whoa.
Oh, just people mysteriously falling asleep everywhere. Oh, what is this coat with all these pockets containing tiny little bottles of something? Yeah.
He should always start the mystery, and then he ends up finding that he's the perpetrator every time, and then he like covers it up.
Yeah, he knocks himself out and can't remember what happened.
Well, let me ask you guys something, since we were talking about the potential of them rebooting this before. Do you feel like the character is so attached to Peter Falk that it's a losing hand no matter what? Or can there really be something that succeeds?
I'm willing to be convinced otherwise. I think like actors have an amazing range or an amazing like ability to embody something that you'd never thought that they could. So like I'm able to be convinced if that's what they want to try. But
I think Columbo absolutely must be a 5'5" man. He's not intimidating, and he's a cop who does not carry a gun. Like he's never going to be in a gun shootout, and that's what disappointed me with Monk, is that it ends episode one with a fucking shootout. Like this, you're betraying the spirit. But are there any Hollywood men who look like Columbo who are 5'5" that could pull it off? Because if you're going to pull a Wolverine and make him 6 feet tall all of a sudden, I'm not watching.
I mean, yeah, no, Adam Friedland, maybe.
That's why I said Charlie Day. Like, he's about my height.
Yeah. Yeah, Charlie Day is a smaller guy. I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of, I guess I'd put myself in the same boat as you, Erich, in terms of my perspective on it. I'm open-minded to seeing what a new version of that would be. And he's not even, I don't think he's the first Columbo. I think they might have tried it in the late 50s or early 60s with actor. I think so. I might. Okay. I don't know. I might be talking out of my ass right now. But if I remember right, there was an attempt at Columbo before Columbo proper. Maybe I could be misremembering. But there was also a stage play around 2007 or 8 in the West End where they did Prescription Murder. And Dirk Benedict from the A-Team played Columbo. And I've seen clips of that. And he's pretty good. He's pretty good as Columbo. All
right.
Yeah.
What about Mrs. Columbo? Should we review that next week?
With Janeway as Mrs. Columbo?
I think that'll sooner be rebooted than Columbo.
Man.
Why would they do that? It failed when it came out.
Wait, what? That's a real thing?
Yeah, it's a real thing.
Yes.
And I can't imagine how they make the canon, because like Columbo's always talking about his wife. That's one of his things. But to imply that his wife's also a detective is fucking retarded.
Or it's in her spare time, you know, she's going out of the house while he's away.
Well,
now,
evidently,
a lot of
she has every hobby under the sun, according to what he says to criminals. So where does she find the time?
Apparently, a lot of the Miss Columbo series is not aligned with much of what happens in Columbo in terms of people stacking up things he said and then that, and then she dies at some point in the Columbo series. I don't know.
They outright say that that doesn't happen in the series. I think after the Mrs. Columbo show came out, there's episodes that like contradict what they say mm-hmm. happens in that show. So yeah.
And while there is a funeral episode for Mrs. Columbo, that is also a gambit, Lorez, because as of the third to last episode, he is still talking about his wife. She's alive.
Wait, he puts on a funeral for his own wife, and it's all like a...
Yeah, he tricks the murderer into thinking that he won.
Oh, that's amazing.
And then he invites them over to his fake house, and they're going to like poison his coffin. He's like, yeah, I know what you're doing. Man. It's too late.
Columbo needs to do his own funeral as well. Like, he like makes the person think that he got murdered, and then he like pops out and he's like, one more thing.
Pops out of the coffin. One more.
Yeah.
Well, any other highlights from Columbo? Because I know E. Rich has to get out of here pretty soon.
Yeah.
Well, can I be the deferring opinion here?
Uh-oh.
I haven't even watched it, so I don't want to hear it, but please go ahead.
Yeah, but I hate when they revive shit like this that's so character-based with someone that doesn't act like the main character, and then we're supposed to believe that that's the same character that the one we... It's like the Willy Wonka thing, right? Where it's like, oh, now he's kind of horny, but more hourly horny.
You know, Gene Wilder wasn't horny?
I think he was creepy and weird, but I don't think his performance at any point was kind of like slick.
Where did it get horny for you? Was it Johnny? You thought Johnny Depp was horny?
Yeah, he had a bunch of little brown midgets around.
Johnny Depp was like the diddled kid Willy Wonka kind of thing.
Yeah, he felt more like a castrato or something. I wouldn't say he's horny.
Like Michael Jackson.
No, but you know, abusers abuse. What is that saying? Abuse.
Hurt people.
Yeah, there we go. There it is. Yeah,
that's exactly what we're saying.
Yeah, that was a perfect log line for Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Yeah.
And then on this new one that I haven't seen, I've heard that it's not that bad, but we're also supposed to believe that Chalamet at some point was Johnny Depp and at some point became Gene Wilder.
No, I think it's its own reimagining of it.
No, Hans is right. It's all one consecutive series. Yeah. You get two Charlies.
The Timmy Chalamet musical one, like I cannot imagine that character going on to hate children and to torture them. So I have to imagine it's like a different universe.
Well, you saw the Wonka movie, right, Mumkey?
Yeah, I just saw it.
Okay. There's supposed to be something that ties it directly into the Gene Wilder one at the end. No?
I mean, he just kind of builds a similar looking factory.
Yeah, and I think it's just the Oompa Loompas look similar, and he wears the same kind of dress as Gene Wilder does. So.
Wait, isn't that British actor, the Oompa Loompas, all of them?
Hugh Grant.
Yeah.
Love Actually.
Yeah, well,
he's,
it is
he's only
Grant,
one of them in the new one. Mm-hmm. There's only one Oompa Loompa really in the movie.
Oh, it's not like that Indian guy that they use for all of the Oompa
Indian guy from Eastbound and Down.
Yeah. Deep Chalk. What's his name?
Yeah, Deep Chalk. Deep Roy.
Deep Roy. Yeah, because that was another weird.
They should cast Deep Roy as Columbo.
Whoa.
I don't think he speaks very good English.
I was say that's too short.
they had to dub over him in Never Ending Story. I don't know if he can talk.
I don't think if they remake it, I don't think it's gonna work, I guess is what I'm trying to say, just because of that, because it's so Peter Falk based that I don't, it's just going to feel like all of those revival 80s shows, like Hawaii 50, like what's another one, the Eddie Murphy one that they remade with just another guy, Beverly Hills Cop, right?
He was still in that. They did a pilot for that. And they're doing a movie that comes out, I think, this summer.
With Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, I guess that was more successful than I thought.
Well, Hans, I'm with you. I don't think they should reboot Columbo at all. Like, fuckers, just go watch the old ones. There's a shit ton of them. It would take you a full week of your life to watch all of them. So we don't need any new ones.
No matter what they do, if they do make new ones, they should keep the format. They should keep the like 90 minutes long episodes. They should keep the like it starts with the killer and then you eventually get to Columbo. Like that is so inherent to the thing for me, unless you're saying that they changed that sometimes.
Yeah, probably because of the way that people consume things now. I don't think they
would
be brave
enough. Screw that.
And also, where are the crimes going to be? Oh, this child was TikTok dancing close to the building, and then they fell. But all of us, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like the 70s were so much more interesting for the things that you guys were mentioning regarding technology mm-hmm. when it comes mm-hmm. to like crime and all that. Now it's so difficult to do a crime show that's interesting like that and put it on modern day just because, you know, there's cameras everywhere, there's DNA everywhere, there's your spit. You can fart somewhere and your DNA is there. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, he
shouldn't have a cell phone for sure. Because he has to ask people to use their phone.
Yeah, this episode, like, I realized, wow, in the 70s, if your car breaks down, you might just be fucked. Like, you have to beg strangers driving by. What if you were a woman? How terrifying. Like, it's like a little woman whose car breaks down and you have nothing you can do. Nobody you can call.
Well, what was that old hitchhiking slogan? Ass or grass, you got to pay one way.
Yeah.
So that would be that. I'm glad Columbo didn't have to pay ass to get driven to the repair shop.
Does grass mean Columbo, like weed? Like, just have a pile of weed on you in case you need a ride?
Columbo's going to be wearing that Apple Vision Pro headset. And he's going to be like, oh, let me check what this person's been tweeting right now. He's going to be doing this while people wait. Yeah, that's what you're going to get.
If you want modern Columbo, just watch Poker Face. It's good enough. Like, I really like it.
Well, joke's on you guys. There is a modern Columbo I have just discovered here from a quick search on IMDb. Mm-hmm. We have a 2017 TV special in France.
Oh.
Starring Martin Lamont as Columbo.
Oh, shit.
I'm guessing it's in French.
Well, yes, of course.
Yeah.
Hans, you want to pull up the poster real quick?
Sure.
Columbo Morte Seuss prescription. So they're still doing.
Why did they add
murder.
This weird curly mustache to Columbo? Because he's French now. Isn't that like an old TV meme from 4chan? Like, they Photoshop a movie poster with like a really bad mustache and say, why does the French dub have a mustache?
Here we go.
Damn, Martin Lamont. Oh, man.
Okay. So
when did Richard Levinson and William Link die? Because I don't think they agreed to this.
Levinson died, I think, in the 80s.
And you need an actor that has one eye, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's... It's like never pointed out. That's just like part of Peter Falk, right? In the show Columbo, they never point out that he has a fake eye, do they?
Listen, no. I just don't think, Monkey, that Hollywood is as ableist as you are. So I think that if you have a disabled person playing the main character in the 70s, how are you going to cast an able-bodied person?
Okay, so we get Dan Crenshaw as Columbo.
Yeah.
That's what you're asking.
Oh, that shitty senator?
Yeah.
I think he's too busy sucking a Netanyahu's cock to do anything else.
No, you have to cast someone, and then the actor has to... get his eye removed for the role.
Someone would do that.
So they can, yeah.
When Ben Mendelsohn was cast in The Place Beyond the Pines, the character was supposed to be a hell of a lot older that he was playing, and he decided to book a dentist appointment to have all his teeth removed.
He did.
And the director at the last minute, his wife told him, you can't let him do that. Don't let him actually do that. And then he phoned him
for this movie that's gonna like make $5 million globally.
He's in the movie for like 15 minutes, and he was about to get all his teeth removed.
Oh my
God. Who does he think he is? Fucking Shia LaBeouf on everything, where he just gets a permanent tattoo, or like,
wait,
didn't he get a? Didn't he get? A, I think he got.
He got a creeper tattoo
taken out. Mm. But didn't he get a couple of teeth taken out for Fury or something like that too?
Yep. Yeah, he killed some cats for the David Ayer movie that no one watched. That was fucking horrible. Yeah.
He killed some cats?
Yeah, he went around with a shotgun or something and killed cats in a car while FKA Twigs was driving them.
He was playing a cholo, like a gangster cholo, in a horrendous movie.
Hell yeah. That's fucked up. We need to bring back Brown Face, big time.
Whatever happened to Don't Fuck With Cats? Like, shouldn't... I guess 4chan has been fucking with Shia for quite a bit, actually. Never mind. I forgot his whole he will not divide us. Let's try to find the secret webcam thing that was going on.
Well, that guy's trans now, right? Shia? The Fuck With Cats guy. He's in, Luca, whatever his name is.
Oh, wait, I thought he died. What the fuck? Where did he go to jail?
No, he's in jail and he's a woman now. Like, he identifies as a woman now because that's what
trying
you
to get into the better prison.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, wouldn't you? First thing I would do. Fuck it, honestly, let me grow my horrible hair.
To be completely quite honest, folks, if I'm going to be spending 20 years in prison, I'd rather be hanging out with the bros than a bunch of ugly bitches. Like, the women who go to prison are not the ones you want to hang out with. Might as well just go exercise with, like, the cholos or something.
Yeah, he was gay, too, so he's depriving himself of any sex opportunities that he would probably be gleefully popping at.
I like that Monkey thinks he would belong with the cholos in jail. Like,
I mean, I would at least try. I would get along with them more than, like, some butch women who killed their husband.
Call you Monk. They would call you Monkey, though, because they can pronounce that M. So it would be like, Andale, Monkey.
I'll take it. I just saw Monkey Man. You can call me Monkey Man all day.
How was let's that, wrap this one up,
because we are trying to make this under an hour. So do you guys want to have any final thoughts or plug anything?
A movie is a podcast about the actors. I did quickly ask you, how is Monkey Man? I know a lot of people are blowing smoke up Dev Patel's ass right now, sucking his dick over this movie. Is it as good as people are making it out to be?
So my issue with a lot of action movies is that guns are boring, and this movie recognizes that, and most of the action and violence has no guns in it. So I was way down for it. Like, a scene where you're handcuffed and a guy is attacking you with an axe, that's the kind of action movie I like to watch. Nice, and there's a lot of shit like that in this movie.
Okay.
None of that gun foo from John Wick that is over choreographed, and, you know, I don't feel like it's raw and real.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people have compared the trailer to looking like John Wick, which I can kind of see. But
they talk about John Wick in the movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What? Like, there's a little, yeah, like, it's a. They know about John Wick, but also
shared universe.
India comes across as the biggest shithole in the world, and I've been so glad to not be Indian watching this movie. My God. But that's about
you mean
it.
as opposed to all the positive depictions of India in media.
When I go on X, they try to convince me every country but America is good, and they're wrong.
Yeah, I think I just saw something about six Indian men gang raping a Komodo dragon to death.
Oh, wow.
So,
holy shit, that's impressive. I'm not even going to hate on that. What the fuck? Like,
yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Steel.
Yeah. I didn't know dragons had a pussy.
Well, if they even use, but yeah, because you can use a mouth, right? You get poison on your penis. Your little
the Komodo
penis.
Dragon scene.
Hey, check out Movies and B-Bang, my favorite podcast. They just had a new episode with Wolfman and somebody else on there.
And Kenny Dorsley, we realized during the show, oh, fuck, we were supposed to be recording the Columbo episode right now. Oh, if you get to 3/4 in, there is that moment where we're like, oh fuck, yeah. Monkey just messaged me.
Well, it's all good. There's nothing else I'd rather do on a Friday night than talk about Columbo.
Absolutely.
So it all worked out.
For sure.
E-Rich, what do you want to plug?
Yeah, you can find me on x.com at TZARREVAN, and then on Letterboxd, Revan138. Go ahead and check me out on there. I just watched The Aristocats, which has a very racist segment with Siamese cat playing the piano with chopsticks. So
they kind of look like Hans, if you think about it.
A little bit, yeah.
Hans, are you really 6'3"?
Two. Oh, Lores what? Okay, so this is something that I mentioned before, which is my ex used to give me shit for all the time, because Lores created my IMDb page and he entered my height as 6'5". And when
that's,
she
that's,
saw
that's
that,
just customary. That's just you always like put it up by 3 inches or so. Yeah.
When she saw that, she was like, "Why are you lying about your height?" And I was like, "Wow, what are you talking about?" And she showed me and I was like, "What the fuck? Lores did this. I didn't do this shit." Yeah. So
what
no,
else did
I'm
you put on
tall.
There, Lores?
I don't think I put anything salacious. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that have done descriptions of Hans, describing him as an internationally renowned comedian and entertainer. I don't have to do the work. Our fan base and audience on Discord will do a lot of that for us. So
nice.
That's about it.
E-Rich, are you excited for later this year when these two gentlemen's fine film, Mass State Lottery, comes out and we get to finally review it?
I'm so looking forward to watching that movie and figuring out what the hell I've been hearing about for so long.
Yeah, what is the ETA again, Lores? Because I think in January I asked you if I could get an advanced screening, and now it's April.
Yeah, I mean, it's a Christmas movie, so I'm eyeing
December.
The Shane Black excuse.
Yeah, so I would say keep your eyes peeled for around then, but I'm, I don't know, I'm wheeling and dealing. I'm trying to get something solidified this month with a distributor and figure out how we're going to tackle putting the movie out. If we're going to do any like Kevin Smith style boots on the ground, we're going to be taking it to venues and screening it, doing Q&A. That sort of thing is all going to be figured out pretty soon, and I will hopefully have something definite within the next month or two.
Should we do the Kevin Smith strategy of like when you do the slow release, should I like protest the film and try to get a big media buzz? Like, don't let anybody see this movie.
I think that would do
stand
wonders.
Outside the theater.
Yes, if you just want to have a sign with Hans's face and a big red X like, next through it. Yes, I think that would be good.
Put a Hitler mustache on it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, folks, I think that's about it for Columbo. Go check out this episode and all the other ones. And that's about it for me.
All right. Thank you for listening. All right.